when he was extremely uncomfortable. Reminds me of 2 Corinthians 1:4, which says that God comforts us in our trouble so that we can comfort other people in any trouble with comfort that we ourselves have received from God. If I was rich, I would buy each one of you a copy of Hannah Whitehall Smith's book, The God of All Comfort. It's, I think, one of the best books ever written for Christians. Wonderful Quaker lady. Listen to what she says about this. She said, "The prerequisite to being comforted is being uncomfortable." David would never have gone to God for comfort had he had any place else to go, or had he had his life been a bed of roses. In fact, you look at the Psalms that he wrote when everything was groovy, and he did praise God, but it didn't have the same flavor to it. It didn't have that, "I don't have anybody but you, Lord. You're my very life." Didn't have that flavor to it at all, because that only comes when you're uncomfortable and God comforts you. So why did God? Could it be that the reason that David had to spend all of that time not being vindicated and have nobody to turn to except the Lord for comfort, could it be that God was looking way, way, way down the years and saying, "I'm going to pick a guy who has a heart exactly like mine. I'm going to let his life be a living hell for a little while. And every time he turns to me, I'll be there for him. I'll prove myself to him. He'll write all of it down. I'll see to it that it's preserved." And then those people in Wiscasset in 2010 who think there's nobody in the world they can talk to will read those words and realize they can talk to me and they'll receive comfort. Could it be that God had a plan so ingenious that that's part of why he didn't let David be vindicated? Absolutely. Now, that's David. This is me. Yeah, but see, you don't know. There's a few faces I wish were here tonight because they've told me their story of how desperately they went to the Lord and God comforted them, and he didn't fix anything right away. But he gave them specific scriptures and specific words of comfort. And then a week later, they ran into somebody in a store who was going through the identical same thing. And now they had something to say to him. And it wasn't platitudes and cliches. In fact, it was so fresh in their minds, they just gushed it all out because it was fresh comfort. No coincidence. In my life, at the second worst time in my life, it came out in songs. I haven't written a song in a long time. I've taught a lot of Bible studies. I've told a lot of stories. Interesting thing is some of those songs, people sing them all over the world. No exaggeration. Millions of people. Songs would have never been written had I not been sucking ditch water and hanging on to Jesus for dear life. So, is that a possibility of why God hasn't righted all the wrongs and vindicated you and made everybody believe you? Is that a possibility that he just wants you to draw close to him and find comfort from him alone so that you have something to tell people when you run into somebody else like that and you can tell them what God said to you? Is that possible? Yes, it is. Why does God wait to keep a promise? This is a hard one also. And I'm going to spend the rest of my time. How much time do I have? 10 minutes, maybe? 15? I'm going to need it. One word. Why God waits to keep a promise or to open opportunities when he's already called somebody. He says, "You're mine. I got plans for you." And then it seems like he just sits on his hands. Seems like it, but one word. Preparation. Jesus was being prepared by God for 30 years for a 3-year ministry. Oh, yeah, but that was a really big deal. But you know what? Jesus could have just come down, touched down on the earth, turned into a human, died on the cross, jetted back to heaven. Big deal. But there was a whole life that was lived of obedience. Obedience under pressure, obedience with misunderstanding from his own family. A life lived that prepared him to be the perfect sacrifice. John the Baptist was prepared by God for 30 years. He lived a completely abnormal life for 30 years for a ministry that lasted about a year. So apparently preparation is a big deal to God. What about the guy that Jesus cast the legion of demons, Charles, we called him on Sunday. Because we didn't have a name for him, so we called him Charles, the demon-possessed guy. What about him? He had no preparation whatsoever when he went out and evangelized in an entire area. Yeah, see, that was a different kind of a ministry. He just had to talk about what Jesus did for him. Moses is a great example, isn't he? God had a plan to rescue an entire nation. God started with Moses when Moses had no self-determination either. He was a baby. God planted him. We love that story. God invested in Moses in the house of Pharaoh. Moses grew up realizing he had a destiny. When he was 40 years old, he thought he was ready. I'm ready. I've got the tools. I've got the position. It's perfect. So Moses, thinking he was ready, went out, tried to rescue one Israelite. Wound up killing someone. Wound up getting all the Egyptians mad at him. Wound up getting all of the Jewish people mad at him. Now he's tried. He's reached his full potential. He's going to step out and take that calling. And all he does is fail miserably and has to run away to the wilderness. And for 40 years, he's out there in the wilderness feeling like a failure. Now, for those 40 years, he was also being prepared. But he didn't know it was preparation. He just thought he failed. God comes to Moses 40 years after going and trying to hide out in the wilderness. And God says, okay, I'm ready. And you're ready. And Moses says, no stinking way. Even if I wanted to do it, those people would kill me if I walked back there. I've blown it. Pick somebody else. And God says, you're perfect. I couldn't do it before because you thought you were ready. Now you're perfect because now you know you're not ready. Now, face it, folks, God was calling Moses to do something that was completely impossible anyway. So it wasn't about being ready. It wasn't about having the tools and the opportunities. It was about being totally humble and completely dependent upon God. And the minute Moses took 80 years, but the minute Moses came to that point, God says, okay, you're ready. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, well, it's because we're reading the story. It's not beautiful if it's you. It's not beautiful if it's me. Here's a possibility to consider. What if it's just preparation? Oh, God hasn't given me a husband. God hasn't given me a wife. And I'm ready. Maybe not. Maybe what he has is so much better than what you can imagine that you got to be more ready than you are. Sometimes preparation looks exactly like failure, doesn't it? I told you about the story I read in, I think it was Forbes magazine. A Fortune 500 executive had this novel I mean, tremendously successful company, but he had this novel approach to hiring upper echelon executives. He only hired people who had failed in that position in another company. And people said, "You're nuts." He says, "Look at the figures." He said, "I did research and I discovered that 91% of executives who fail the first time do not fail if given another chance. They learn from their mistake." And he said, "It's just the numbers." He says, "I figure I have better odds of getting a guy who's not going to blow it by getting one that's already blown it." Boy, that sounds almost Christian, doesn't it? It doesn't sound churchy, but it does sound like grace. And he was just a number cruncher, that's all. So, could there be a reason why I'm under pressure, I'm suffering, and God isn't judging the people that are responsible? Well, yeah, there's a very good reason. He wants to rescue them as well. Could there be a reason why he has not intervened? He knows how desperate it is. Well, maybe it's going to get worse before it gets better. Because maybe the thing that he's going to do is going to be so much better than what he would do if he intervened when I asked him to. Maybe that's what the waiting is about. Why is he waiting when I'm suffering and hasn't stepped in and snatched me out of this place? Maybe I'm supposed to be in this place for somebody else. Why does he seem to take so stinking long to vindicate me? I spent years waiting for somebody to send me an email or a phone call saying, "I was wrong, you were right." And God showed me that may not happen on this earth. It will happen someday. And if what this person thinks of me then won't matter then why should it matter now? Can I just trust what God is up to? Can I draw comfort from him? Can I just let it all play itself out and everybody's character will be revealed? Well, that's not as easy for me, but I'll tell you, it's a lot easier when I realize that God does that a lot in Scripture. And could there possibly be a good reason why he seems to be waiting to keep his promise? Well, preparation is a good reason, isn't it? Maybe I'm not as ready as I think I am. Maybe what would make me ready is a different thing than what I think. You know what I mean? I've got all these assets in place and everything's right. God, I'm perfect. And God says, no. We just got to squish all of that. We need to send you out in the wilderness for 40 years. You stop to think about it. When Moses finally came and led Israel through the wilderness, he knew more about living in the wilderness than 3 million people did. So was that time out in the wilderness wasted? Well, not even from the pragmatic aspect. It was perfect training for leading a group of people through the wilderness, you know, spending 40 years tending sheep in the wilderness. So it wasn't wasted even from a tactical standpoint. But what made Moses ready was Moses' heart of humility. God says, okay, you're perfect right now because now you know you can't do it. 40 years ago, you thought you could, and I couldn't use you. All you did was get everybody mad at you. Now you're ready because now you know you need me. So I pass that on to you. These are words that comforted me. It's not all of the reasons why God waits. But it contains the basic ingredients. God's perfect. He's wise. He's loving. He's got a way longer fuse than we think. His plan is way bigger than we think. He's not in a hurry. And he does not answer prayer based on my feelings of urgency. Every answer he gives is based on his perfect timing, perfect wisdom, perfect plan. What happens when we believe that? Oh, yeah, you know what? We're hard to get lied to, aren't we? I mean, it's hard to believe the lies. They don't work. We have peace. We're secure. Do I have 2 more minutes? Okay, I got to tell you something God said to me. I had just had oatmeal at Julia's house, and I was looking at a whole bunch of situations and everybody's life around me that just looked totally out of control. And I was carrying all the weight of it on me, which is stupid. Because if God can't carry the weight, then how do I think I can do it? You know what I mean? It was completely illogical. Why am I even worried about any of this stuff? And I got out and I sat in my car and I put my head on the steering wheel and I was weeping. And God spoke to me. It was beautiful. It was so cool that I got a piece of paper and I wrote it down and now it carried around on my dashboard. God spoke to me and he said, son, what if everything in your life right now was exactly the way it was supposed to be? How would that make you feel? And I answered him back and I said, I'd feel strong. I'd feel peaceful. I'd feel hopeful. I would feel successful. And he said, well, it is. So I pass these things on to you. What if it's not all out of control? What if God waiting doesn't mean that he doesn't know what to do? What if it means he knows exactly what to do? Then I'll stop beating up people, won't I? And I'll stop blaming other people for messing up my life. I'll realize who I belong to. I'll look at them completely differently. I will be thankful that God didn't fry them, because I realize the reason he didn't fry them was because he loves them. He's holding out for a melted heart, which he can change and forgive, and then wouldn't that be better? Certain frame of mind, I know it would be better. Another frame of mind, I just want to grab my sword. So this was a special request study. This wasn't in my plans. I spent 7 hours with it yesterday, and I came through that time just flying. I was so excited. Let's pray. I'm sure there's way more than what we've looked at tonight, Lord. And so my prayer is that you take each one of us and the circumstances that we're in, where we are not getting what we want, or we have a bunch of stuff we don't want, and it hurts, and it's hard, and it's prolonged, and we don't know why you're waiting. I pray, Lord, you'd speak to us, show us your ways, show us your heart. Give us the information that we need to see correctly, because you're right. You're loving, you're good, you don't change. So Lord, let us filter everything through what we know is true about you. And I thank you that you do answer my whys sometimes, not nearly often enough. But then if I just knew your heart, I wouldn't need answers. So thank you for these, Lord. Thank you for these words. I pray they would sustain us. I pray that we would be wise to what a liar our enemy is. Thank you. Amen.